Welcome to Manager Tools. Politics, having nothing bad to say.
Here we go.
This cast answers these questions. How do I answer questions about disagreements or bad relationships? How much do I tell people about bad former bosses or companies? Should I be honest about difficult people? Well, if you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
We're going to talk about a pretty delicate moment, politically delicate at least, right? When you're asked about a difficult person or a situation, and man, the desire, the tendency for folks to like engage in these kind of conversations and commiserate about a bad boss or a bad situation is, it's epidemic, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it many, many times over the years that drama gets traction, right? You know, the average police officer in America, as an example, never draws his or her weapon. But on cop shows on TV, that's what they do. You know, the average CEO is not a murderer or a bad person in any way. But if they show a CEO in TV or radio or movies or whatever, they're bad. They killed someone.
Yeah. It's not very interesting to see the nice guy, right?
Yeah. And so things that are boring don't get repeated. Things that are dramatic get repeated. And so you're going to get asked about situations where you get into a disagreement with somebody, where a situation turns out badly, a plan doesn't go according to plan, and somebody's in trouble or perceived to be in trouble. A company stumbles that you know something about, a group does poorly, you know, a previous boss or colleague is in the news for one reason or another. And typically the thought is sharing the drama is one of the currencies of relationships. It's part of it. You assume, well, that this person's a friend of mine, they know something, so it will validate my friendship with them if I ask them and they tell me, let me explain. It makes you feel like you know more than somebody else. The problem is the mistake that people make, and this is part of the reason why this is a manager's cast and not a career tools cast, but it could easily go over there as well, is because the manager also has an unspoken relationship with the firm. And when you are a manager, you speak for the firm. It's part of the very definition of role power. So therefore, when you're speaking ill about someone else, a colleague, a friend, another company, or whatever, you're essentially speaking for the firm. It's as if your firm is disparaging or gossiping or rumor mongering about something. And people forget that. A lot of managers forget that. And what you have to realize is those things are going to happen over and over again. And the right way to handle them is not to say anything at all.
Yeah. Well, I think this is one of those situations that the tendency to engage in the behavior to commiserate with the individual you're talking to is so strong that if you don't think about this ahead of time and have a strategy for when it happens, because it is going to happen, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Once a week.
And yeah, so this is a case where if you think about it ahead of time and you have a strategy, which we're going to kind of talk about, and behaviors that you can engage in or not engage in, you'll do well. But if you don't think about it, man, and your brain just goes into normal mode, you'll fall into the trap. And it can be devastating to your career if you get caught in the wrong situation.
Yeah, I'll say something else here. In the last few years, I've been thinking that we're recording this in 2016, but I'm sure it's still going to be valid 20 or 30 years from now. There is a growing sense that people like silver bullets. They want to know how to become Mark Zuckerberg. They want to have a hockey stick revenue graph. They want to come up with the next great idea. And there is less talk about slow and steady delivering on a regular basis, not fancy, not flashy, but disciplined, successful, more successful than not, as opposed to fabulously successful.
That's right. You know, effective management and effective career management is largely, you're going to laugh at this analogy, it's a triple option. It's a wishbone. just steady yards, time and time again, time and time again, grinding up the clock, you know, drive a touchdown, take 8 minutes of the clock time versus the Hail Mary pass, right? The long, you know, 70-yard passes that happen occasionally, but that's a bad strategy for winning a football game.
Yeah, and the problem is people then forget that if it is discipline, if it is professionalism, if it is building relationships over time and delivering over time, then what that means is one of these things, you're going to be asked to share something, perhaps not, let's just say not flattering about someone else, something else, another institution, another event, situation, whatever. Once a week, that's 50 weeks a year times a 30-year career, you're going to have 1,500 opportunities to deal with this. Now, someone asks you and you spill the beans. It feels good. You feel like you're sharing. You're perceived as knowing something they didn't know. And so it's very emotionally rewarding to share, but it's not professionally helpful. And you're going to have 1,500 opportunities in your career to do this. And since these things are not going to make or break your career 99% of the time, it's way better to have a positive approach to it. And by the way, I would also say that if someone else asks you about negativity, the 2 or 3 minutes you tell that juicy story, the 2 or 3 minutes where you disparage someone, or you say things about someone which would be heard to be disparaging even if you didn't mean to disparage them, that's negative energy, negative emotions, not professional in your head, in your relationships. It's not effective in the long run. You are not going to be happier because of it. Or if you think it makes you happy for 2 or 3 minutes and you want to do it more often, it's a bit like eating candy for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It tastes good, but you're going to be sick a lot. So we're old-fashioned, Mike and I. We're old school.
Well, because we've seen people burn by this so many times, at some point you go like, okay, that doesn't work very well.
I just wrote about Clint Eastwood's son, Scott, saying, yeah, my dad's old school. He tells me, show up, be on time, work hard. And I said, wow, when did that become old school?
Right.
I thought that was just professionalism. All right. So look, enough. We're rambling here. So 2 points to make here, guys. One, the right answer is I have nothing bad to say, or a variation of that, which we'll share with you. The second thing is you must always use this characterization in public. We understand that sometimes in private, you might choose with one trusted friend, you might be willing to share some more details of the situation.
So what's the right answer?
Well, okay. So the right answer is a variation of the phrase, no comment. Now, 15, 18 years ago, I was working with a client and I tried to get a bunch of client managers. I tried it for probably a year or two to get a couple of client managers and various people and teams they were working with to say no comment. You know, they were in a meeting, that drama happened, good or bad. And let's assume bad. And they come out of the meeting and somebody says, hey, I heard something happened. And they said, no comment. No comment has gotten a ring of falseness, partially because of its use in the political arena, or it basically says, I don't have to talk to you.
Yeah, that's right. There's a negative connotation relationship-wise.
Yeah. So you may think, gosh, I'd prefer not to comment, or, you know, say no comment. But most people in daily lives are not going to say no comment to their friends.
Right. Don't give people a hand, right?
Yeah, exactly. Don't talk to the hand. On the other hand, if you wanted to, you could in many situations, if somebody who doesn't know you well at all suggests that you would share something illicit or unsavory or less than great about your firm or about somebody you know, it would be completely okay to say no comment. But we recommend the phrase, I have nothing bad to say, or I have nothing but good things to say about him or her or them or the situation, or I have nothing to add. Okay. I particularly like, hey, I've got nothing but good things to say about him or her, okay? It's a different problem that some people face than the phrase no comment. People won't use the phrase no comment. And some people say, wait a minute, Mark, I just was in a meeting where some executive chewed out some junior person and somebody comes to me, hey, did you hear the executive? I said, yeah, I was there. And what happened? And depending upon the structure of the conversation, being able to say, look, I've got nothing but good things to say about the VP. people just can't process that, particularly politically immature, ineffective, inefficient people. And so therefore they're like, what? Why wouldn't you have something bad to say if he did something bad? So I particularly like, I have nothing but good things to say about him. Okay. Now, look, guys, the whole point of this approach is the political part of the phrase, which are the words to say. Everyone wants to know what you think, what you know, what you saw. That's the juicy stuff. That's why they ask. What this phrase says is, regardless of what I think or what I know or what I heard or what I saw, I have nothing to say about it. Now, look, guys, the fact that some people won't hear that and they'll hear that you don't think things or don't know things, that's their problem.
Yeah, exactly. Okay?
Yeah. And to be clear, listen to how I say it. I have nothing bad to say about that guy. Okay. I don't say I have nothing bad to say about that guy. I'm not trying to wink at the person and say, oh, yeah, a bad thing happened. He did it. But I'm not going to say it. Because, in fact, with that characterization, you've just said it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? And by the way, you let their imaginations run wild. And we'll talk in a little bit about how to teach directs this in a subtle way. But there's a difference between seeing something and talking about something. There's a difference between talking about something and doing the thing. And people seem to forget that. I actually think that as fabulously helpful to the world as social media is, it has lowered the barrier between people's private thoughts, people's public thoughts, and what people actually say. And people tweet and so on, or send instant messages that are what they're thinking right at the moment. And generally speaking, a lot of those things are innocuous, but often they're not. And that's part of adulthood. It's part of professionalism. It's part of maturity, is distinguishing between what your feelings are, what your thoughts are, what your statements are, and what your actions are.
Okay. So let's go through an example. Well, say you're at a meeting and someone disparaged someone directly, right?
Okay.
Okay. And then word gets around and one of your directs comes to you and wants to talk about it.
Okay. So you're gonna play the direct?
I'll play the direct.
Okay.
So we say it was a finance meeting, right? So your direct comes to you after the finance meeting about a half an hour later because he heard something.
Right.
Hey, boss, heard that meeting had some drama, huh?
Yeah, a little.
Well, what happened? Who said what?
It's not worth talking about, dude. I have nothing bad to say about it.
Okay.
Yeah, now I got to tell you, there are managers out there listening going, I couldn't do that. And I would ask you to reassess your motivations for having to share about what happened. Because I promise you, you're going to make mistakes in front of people, and your directs are going to be importuned to talk about your mistakes, your failures in public or private situations. What would you want them to say? If your best direct, who loves working for you and is a trusting, honest guy, if you overheard him saying to a colleague, a trusted friend of his, oh my God, you won't believe what my boss did, da 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 da, you'd be hurt. You'd be shocked. Absolutely. You'd be embarrassed.
And you'd call it gossiping and rumor mongering.
Exactly. And what's interesting is the person would probably be telling their version of the truth, but it would come out much more dramatic because, of course, that makes them look good to their colleague whom they're sharing with, the person they're trusting. On the other hand, if you saw one of your directs or somebody broadly in your organization get asked and they said, you know, not worth talking about. I got nothing but good things to say about him. It would warm your heart.
Yeah, it would.
So don't think that you can go around saying, oh, you're not going to believe what happened, and then expect everybody around you, to whom your behavior is an example, by the way, to then say, oh, I have nothing but good things to say about him or her. Life doesn't work that way. Another example, maybe?
Yeah, another example. We'll say you're my boss. You have a boss at a previous company that was well known as a loud and obnoxious person. And I have somebody specific in mind.
Yes. Okay,
so I won't mention names, but I got one of your old bosses in mind. So I'm going to come up to you and ask you a question.
Okay.
Hey, boss, I heard you worked at XYZ. Your boss there, he was a total jerk, wasn't he?
Yeah, I've got nothing bad to say about the guy, honestly.
You're kidding me, right?
Dude, smile at people on your way up. You're going to see them on the way back down. Now, a smart person would go, oh, okay, the guy was a jerk. But Mark's not going to compound the and be a jerk himself, or, you know, in the shadow of the other jerk by essentially throwing that guy under the bus, because that's what jerks do. Now, look, guys, there are situations where you may have to repeat what you say. Okay. Let's do another one, Mark. Mike, you know, there's a situation, you sit next to a colleague, you're a manager. I'll play the direct this time.
Okay.
Your colleague, a guy you sit next to, fired somebody, and apparently the firing went bad. I was angry and ugly, yelling threats. The person being fired stormed out. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that gets shared around. So you know you're going to get asked, and I'm going to ask you. And the point is, the incredulousness with which your comment is taken when you're saying it to someone who's politically a neophyte is such that you may have to repeat it. And this is not just a first line of defense to make most people go away. But if someone asks you again, you're supposed to spill the beans. No, you may have to repeat it. So here, an example. Okay. Hey, did you hear? Were you there? Did Marianne fire Derek?
Yeah, I did hear. Always a tough situation, dude.
What happened, dude?
You know, it doesn't really matter. You know, frankly, I don't have anything bad to say about either of them.
Really? I mean, I heard there was yelling, there were threats, and you're neutral about it?
Dude, I didn't say I was neutral. I said I had nothing bad to say about him.
Yeah, that's so good. And a smart person's going to draw the conclusion, I get it. Oh, it happened. Now, I would have to be able to say, Mike didn't confirm or deny anything, but Mike has not been painted with a brush of, yes, he confirmed everything, but I know Mike's not going to be the one to spread rumors about people.
And if anybody asks you about what I said, you'd have to say, look, dude, he said he wasn't going to talk about it.
Yeah,
which exactly. Which is what you want people to say.
He gave me a no comment in a professional way. Yeah. And look, let's go further, guys. In 99% of the situations you're going to be in this regarding this, you don't put emphasis on the to say part. I don't tell Mike, hey, Mike, you're not hearing me. I have nothing bad to say about the guy. Politically intelligent people, when you use these phrasing, I have nothing but good things to say about that guy, or I have nothing to add, or I have nothing bad to say about that guy, know that what you're saying is, yes, of course I have an opinion. They were idiots. The company was wrong. Rules were broken. It was ugly, whatever. But I'm not going to say those things because I'm smart enough to know that saying those things makes me part of it. I'm a politically savvy enough person to know I can avoid being part of it by not talking about it, by not being one of those people who spreads gossips or rumor mongers.
Yeah. Now, what if there's an opportunity for a teaching moment with your directs, right? Where they know you're aware of something, but they aren't. How would you approach that?
Okay, so you be the director, I'll be the manager.
Okay.
And we'll assume we're in a meeting because our next point is about public and private.
Cool. All right. So, hey, boss, did the VP really chew out that consultant in the meeting?
I would say there's a disagreement.
Yeah, but I heard he screamed at him.
I've got nothing to say about it, dude.
Really? I mean, everybody's talking about it, dude.
Folks, hear me on this one, okay? I didn't say the meeting was copacetic. I said I had nothing to say about it. There's a difference. And if I were wanting to be funny, I'd say, and by the way, there's a podcast about it too.
Yeah.
Now, the point is there, as a manager, I'm obligated to help my directs become politically savvy. So a person who is efficient and productive, but politically naive, doesn't ruin their career. And so I might teach it that way. Of course, the far more likely situation is you could teach this by, in a one-on-one, as an example, saying to one of your directs, hey, look, can I give some feedback? When you talk badly about Sarah in that situation that happened the other day, that's not an effective way to go about things. Can you work on that? And the direct says yes. He says, well, what should I have done? I said, well, look, if somebody asks you something bad about Sarah, you say, hey, look, I have nothing but good things to say about my colleague. And the point of that is, it's not that you're arguing with them about what happened. It's that I'm not the person who's going to be the font of negativity about any one person, let alone anything at all in the organization. You're going to be perceived as a person who forgives, as a person who understands that people are human, and you're going to be perceived a little bit politically. And as we've said before, guys, the definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county. And the definition of politics is three people in the same county. When you look at the top of your organization and you see all kinds of, quote, politics, unquote, happening, what you call politics, those senior people call collaboration. There is no organization in the world, and an organization has to have more than one person, without politics. There's not. So you can wish for a politically free world, but you'd have to be dead. And by the way, we're not playing politics. That's the phrase people use, because that way you can impugn your competitor's character by implying that he or she is not being truthful. Politics is not just about avoiding the truth. It's about being respectful that, you know, nature is red in tooth and claw, and that human organizations are inherently rife with conflict. And it's better to be using a little honey rather than a little gall to get done what you need to get done. And you want to forgive people? If you assume that you want people to forgive you when you make a mistake, you better be of a forgiving nature yourself, because karma works.
Yeah, I don't like this last example, dude, but particularly because we don't want to visit upon our directs the mistakes of our previous bosses. And you know, you can take the view that politics is a dirty, nasty thing, and we, you know, like you said, we don't play politics. But if you don't teach your directs this stuff, they're going to make these mistakes. So learn this, use it, but pass this stuff on to your directs. They'll appreciate it.
I think a
lot of folks out there in the workplace just wish their boss had pulled them aside and said, hey, here are some things you need to know about conversation, how to conduct yourself in business.
Yeah. When I was the S1, Mike and I, for those of you who don't know, Mike and I served together in the Army, what, nearly 40 years ago.
And hence my earlier in the podcast reference to the triple option, wishbone. We went Army won its first game of the season, so we have to note that as particularly making us particularly optimistic about the future.
And I actually said to you and to others who were in the unit, I'm not going to play politics. I'm just going to be better.
And you didn't.
Now, to be fair, I was better. I did very well. But why didn't Major Dooley, now Colonel Texera was not the guy that teach politics, but I think of the number of people that could have taken me aside. Now, Dave Lynch did, your boss, there for a while, but nobody took the time. Nobody said to this young lieutenant, I was doing very well early in my career, nobody took me aside and said, hey, let me tell you some things that I've learned. And I got to tell you, if you're a manager in your organization, if you want your organization to get better, share with your directs what you know. Not just about work, not just about finance, not just about operations, but also about people and about politics.
Yeah, I'd tell you the best boss I ever had, who I didn't particularly love it at the time, was the one who pulled me aside and flipping just whacked me on the side with a 2x4. Yeah. In a way that didn't hurt me, right? But she was pretty direct and honest with me about my tendency to get on a soapbox and berate people. But man, it changed my career. I would not be where I am today without her.
The whole point of Manager Tools, guys, is don't do what we did. And part of the reason we did it is nobody was teaching this stuff. Mike and I were both very successful and also very opinionated. And if you had videotape of us, you'd say, man, really? You did that? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you'd laugh. You go like, oh, that's just you know, comical.
And you know what? Learn from us. Don't make the mistakes we made when we were 22, 23.
Yeah, we don't teach this stuff because we were perfect. That's for sure. Okay, let's talk about the public-private piece of this.
Yeah. So you've got to be politically correct. Sorry to use that phrase. When you're in public.
Unbendingly so.
Yeah, there's no, it's completely black and white. There's no gray area. If you get asked to speak ill of someone, something, some organization, some event, some incident, and you are in a group, you do not do it, okay? And the phrase you'd use is, I have nothing bad to say about what happened, or I have nothing but good things to say about the people involved in that situation. And the smart people, again, will know. First of all, guys, a bunch of professionals sitting around talking negatively, think about you and your team, is a productivity nightmare. If you're talking about something that happened a week ago, and you're not trying to parse it to figure out what your next step is, you're just people who just want to know the dirt, okay? You're wasting time, and meetings are expensive. But in addition to that, I promise you, each person who hears anything you say in that group hears it in their own way, because communication is what the listener does. If you say something negative, it's going to be repeated. It's going to be repeated incorrectly because they don't hear what you said. They only hear what they heard. It's going to be repeated if you're a manager with the imprimatur of your authority, meaning you speak for the company. It's going to be repeated incorrectly to one of the people involved in the event. And it will be noted that it came from you.
Well, it makes it worse because I think you understate this. It's going to be repeated incorrectly in some cases because they misunderstood you. In a lot of cases, it's going to be repeated incorrectly because they're going to make it up. If you say anything negative about the situation, you don't know what you said, meaning it's going to be repeated in a way that what they say you said and what you said will be just on complete opposite the spectrum because the person who's talking about it wants somebody with your authority to validate their view of the situation.
Yeah. And even worse, they're going to repeat something that you said falsely and attribute it to you because they have a motivation because they don't like you.
Yeah.
And so you can't give them even a scrap, a morsel of information.
Yeah, it will be used against you. You know, politicians, I'm talking now in the political realm, that's why when they're asked a question, they never answer the question. Because if they answered it honestly and there were some nuances, right? Nuances for politicians are just killer because people will read into it and make things up. So they don't answer the question.
Yeah. And I know some people are listening going, well, you know, that just tells me as much as I hate them, I'm just going to be totally brutally honest and people have to get used to it. Yeah. Good luck with that. And it's not that easy.
More promotions for the rest of us available.
Yeah. And look, guys, we also know that you have friends. You have trusted colleagues, and you can share more with a single trusted friend or colleague privately if you do totally trust them. Now, I will tell you, you probably say too much as it is, but we also know, Mike and I know, we can't stop you completely from privately mentioning to your best friend at a company, you'll never believe what happened. Okay. Just remember, they're going to share it too. And the further the story gets away from the people who were there, the lower the barrier is to sharing. And people know. Everyone in an organization draws conclusions about the professionalism of people based on what they're willing to say about other people. And it's just better to be thought politically neutral, as my brother Walt likes to say. I'm Switzerland. I just don't take sides. I know what side I like, but I just don't publicly share what side I'm on.
And Walt's a very smart guy, one of the smartest guy I know. And he definitely has an opinion, right? But he's Switzerland, right?
Yeah, yeah. So look, summarizing, we went off on a couple of tangents here, guys, but speaking ill of someone else, something else, a situation is always risky. Relationships are fluid. And the reason relationships are important is all communication happens through relationships. You never know who knows whom. You never know how they know that person and in what context. You're not required to share everything with everyone. And more importantly, the desire you have to share is a personal, emotional one that probably doesn't pass the sniff test for you as a professional. You're better off keeping your opinions to yourself and taking the political high road. Remember what I said earlier in the cast and many, many times on Manager Tools and Career Tools over the years, smile at people on your way up. You'll see them on your way back down.
Absolutely. Thanks, my friend.
Anytime, partner.
All right. We'll see you. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long. If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.